are up to Exodus chapter number 21. Very interesting chapter. I started off and I'm looking at it and like, this is going to be boring as can be. We're finally starting to get into the law. Oh, what am I going to find to be able to preach on out of this? And then Miss Mary, I got to starting to study through Exodus chapter number 21. And a little bit of studying will mess up an awful lot. And this, sometimes it'll mess up your doctrine, sometimes it'll mess up your theology, and you'll find out the way you're supposed to have been thinking, you'll find out the way you're supposed to have been believing, so you'll find out what the Bible actually says. And sometimes it just flat out messes up your concept of what God's got to say. And we're not going to go through the entire chapter here. There's just simply too much to try to get in today. We just want to look at a couple of verses here real quick and use them something as a springboard for the rest of our sermon. But it's been a very eye-opening time of studying God's Word for me, at least. So here in Exodus chapter number 21, we're going to read three simple verses, verses 23, 24, and 25. The Bible says, "And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." That does not sound like a sermon at all, does it? Until you get in there and you start to realize that what God's trying to do is to get people away from this mentality of not only getting even, but getting ahead. Bringing as much retribution as they possibly can to the person who they think has wronged them, who has actually wronged them. Getting away from the way that the world thinks where you've got to have your pound of flesh plus some and get to what God calls justice, equity, an equal proportion. And so with that being in our mind, we'd like to bring our sermon this morning on the simple thought, I want to get even. I want to get even. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. I ask you, Father, please to help me present the sermon the way that you'd have me to, so that it'll be a light to the lost and a help to your people. That everyone here will be able to get as much out of this as possible. I realize, like I said, it's not the whole chapter. It's just a couple of verses, but you've got so much in your Word here for us if we'll just sit down and take an honest look. We thank you, Father, for that. And we do pray, Lord, once again, for everyone here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center, Lord, for your blessings upon them, for the health and well-being of both the residents and the staff. And we're certainly thankful, Lord, that they've allowed us the opportunity to come into their home, to come into their place of work, and share a little bit of your Word with them. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Now, you may have heard about a little fella, the early part of last century. His name was Mahatma Gandhi. And one of the things he said that I found interesting was that he said, an eye for an eye makes the whole world go blind. And he was talking about the need for all the vengeance that was going on there. Tit for tat, and I've got to do this. I must get even. All this wanton destruction, and even the excessive punishment for crimes that just don't fit. Now, people who read the Bible without understanding, they will look at this passage of Scripture here, and they will look at it from their own point of view, and they will point at it, Miss Betty, and they will say, see, that's proof God is evil. God is no good. God is no better than the rest of us, because this is what he's saying here. Give an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for a life, so on and so forth here. And what it is that they are declaring God to be this cruel dictator without, Miss Gwen, any context,
without trying to see what it is that God is trying to bring out. At this particular time here especially, the world was very cruel, very vindictive. If you did one little thing wrong, man, you were in a whole lot of trouble if you got caught. You stole something. Well, you got a hand cut off. You stole something again. You got a second hand cut off. You managed to steal something a third time, they killed you at that point. God doesn't require the cutting off of hands. God says, restore what it is that you took. Get things going here in the right direction is what God was trying to do. And there's other things here in this chapter here where God is trying to preserve the rights of individuals. And you would think that, oh my soul, with all this going on here, there's no way that God cares, when in fact He is instituting stuff that will be of great help to these weaker people, to those who don't have a chance, to those who don't have a prayer, it would seem. God is there for them. And God is here for those. They've messed up. They've done something they shouldn't have done. They've gotten caught. God says, we're not going to go overboard on this. We are going to institute a policy where it's going to be an even amount. If we can't do an even amount, then we're going to work something out here so that things can be taken care of, so that we don't have to go to the extremes that everyone wants to go to. But even here today, we can get downright offended over any little thing. Someone didn't say hi to you on the phone fast enough. We get all mad at them. Someone says something that offends us when it was simply a joke. Was it meant to offend? We heard something wrong about it, and it's aimed at us. Oh, how dare they do that? People have such short fuses nowadays, and we don't bother to pay attention. Now, I could pull out my phone right now and shoot someone a text message, tell them, you know, something that's going on here right now. But because they can't hear how I'm saying it, they can't see the situation that's going on here before me, they'll sit there and say, I'm mad. Oh, I'm just angry. When it wasn't the case at all. But we blow things out of proportion. That's how it goes nowadays. Kind of tends to say that we don't have a whole lot of patience. That we're not trying to be respectful. God says, have a little bit of patience. Be a bit more respectful than what you have been. Try to see the other person's point of view, because you never know exactly what it is that you're going to come across if you'll just try to see what all is going on. Get away from this notion that you must retaliate, that you must get even with them, if not ahead. Because it's always better to be ahead, because then you don't have to be as bitter. Well, wait a minute. If you are ahead, you are being as bitter. You are having difficulties because now you're trying to stay ahead. Now you're trying to do things your own way. Now, and you're always afraid that you're going to fall behind on something here. God says, you don't need to be angry all the time. You don't need to have vengeance. You don't need to be doing all these things here. Just follow His plan, and things can work out. Now, for the record, I got the studying on this whole business of getting even, retaliating, vengeance, and all this other stuff here. And I found that the first time that there is retaliation, actually not even that there is retaliation, that there is the fear of retaliation, I should put it that way, is back in Genesis chapter number 3. Right there when Adam and Eve have taken the forbidden fruit and they've eaten it. All of a sudden they realize they were naked. And here comes the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what happens? Adam and Eve, they're hiding. They're down here behind the bushes. They're standing behind a tree. Oh, does God see me? Oh no, I don't want God to see me. He's going to strike me dead for sure. He's going to whoop me good if He catches me. I got to hide. They're fearing His retaliation. And they missed the very fact that God was coming in the cool of the day. not in the heat of the moment, but in the cool of the day. They were afraid of it. Why? Because they had entered into sin. And they knew it. And they knew they deserved it. They deserved God to come down and smack them upside the head. They deserved, because of their sin, for God to come and strike them dead. But God wasn't coming for retaliation. He was coming for mercy. For grace. In fact, He even showed that mercy there in verse number 21 of Genesis 3. When instead of striking them dead, He takes and kills a couple of animals and takes the skin and fashions clothes to cover Adam and Eve. And when you get in there and you start studying the difference in the clothing there, when they made themselves aprons of fig leaves, we picture those, you know, aprons like you see in the kitchen. It covers, you know, from the neckline all the way down, and you ain't going to get nothing on you because you are covered. Point being, though, when you look at the Hebrew word for the word apron there in the fig leaves, it actually only covers the front, and that's it. The least little bit of covering, that's all that they gave themselves. But when you look at the clothes, the coats of skins that God made for Adam and Eve there, it went all the way to the hand, all the way to the feet, all the way up here around the neck. It completely, Miss Gwen, covered them. That ain't retaliation, that's mercy. But sin brings fear. We start looking at all this nonsense going on here. We start getting things our own way. We start doing things our own way. And yeah, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. Genesis chapter number 4, we find that Cain killed his brother Abel. Verse number 11 says, "And now art thou cursed from the earth." This is God punishing Abel. Or I'm sorry, punishing Cain. Abel's dead. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." The phrase there, "cursed from the earth," is equal to Abel being removed from the earth. Remember, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. And Cain removed Abel from this earth by killing him. Now God is removing him from the earth. He's still there on the earth, but He's not going to have it nowhere near as easy as there had been before. And that was already work. That was already a hard time here. But God was making it as even as possible, short of taking Cain off the planet. But what happens? Cain gets to fearing. Verse number 14. Let's back up. Verse 13. "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth." Okay, no problem. Get it. That pretty much matches up what God said there in verse 11 and 12. But verse 14 goes on, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." In other words, anybody who finds me is going to kill me. You know, people keep asking Miss Betty the question, where did Cain get his wife from? Because we're only told about Cain and Abel being born. They keep missing that part of verse 14. If they're wondering where he got a wife from, why aren't they worried about who's going to kill him? I mean, wouldn't it just be Adam and Eve? Couldn't he just say, you know, mom and dad will kill me if they find me? No. Cain realized he had brothers and sisters. Cain realized that he had an issue here, that one of them, maybe a whole bunch of them, maybe all of them, liked Abel better than him, and they would want to retaliate against him for having killed their brother. There it is. Retaliation. For the very first time, this man is fearful. Not from God retaliating, but fearful from man retaliating. And quite frankly, you get in there and you start reading the Mosaic Law. Cain had a reason to be afraid. He didn't have no city of refuge. He didn't have no altar that he'd be able to go and grab a hold of, at least until trial. And he was guilty of sin, so he would have been taken out and executed for his murderous behavior. Retaliation was due this boy. But God showed mercy. God placed a mark on Cain, so as everybody would know, hey, do not kill him. He is protected by me.
Grace and mercy, gotta love it. But you know, when you get further down there into Genesis chapter number 4, we meet a man there, Miss Mary, by the name of Lamech. And Lamech ended up having to kill someone in self-defense. And Lamech went to his two wives and he told them what all had happened there. He says, you know what, if God made this pronouncement that if anyone killed Cain, they would have to be punished 7 times. Well, I think it should be that since I killed this man in self-defense, if anyone wants to retaliate against me, they'll have to be punished 70 times 7. We're going to make sure that they get it really good because I did this in self-defense. It's self-preservation is what I was doing here. And what's Lamech doing? He is pronouncing sentence upon anyone else who would come along. He's already trying to retaliate and no one has come along trying to retaliate against him for what he did. He's not looking at the eye for an eye equal. He's looking at the eye for an eye as I'm going to get even. Church, we don't need to worry about getting even. We need to worry about getting God and letting God do it. The Bible says over there, Romans chapter number 12, verse 19. Let me turn there real quickly. I wrote this verse down for a reason, but I didn't bring the whole page, it seems. Had all the verses themselves written out so that I wouldn't have to waste too much time. Romans 12, verse number 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, what should Lamech have done? He should have said, you know what? I did it in self-defense. God will take care of it. God will be the judge. And if anyone wants to come after me, they'll have to deal with God. That sounds like a pretty good strategy. Let them deal with God. He's a whole lot bigger than them. But aside from retaliation, the Bible does also talk to us somewhat about revenge. Let me turn over here to Psalms 94. See what the Bible's got to say over there in Psalm 94. Some good material here in God's Word. Psalm 94, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the works of iniquity boast themselves. The psalmist is asking God, hey, what gives? Why aren't you getting the vengeance here, Lord? Why aren't you taking care of this? Because God came for grace and mercy. That's what He's after, grace and mercy. We'll sit here and we'll wonder, why God, why? I need to see some revenge going on here. And God says, just let me handle it. I can take care of it, honestly. There's no need to worry. There's no need to panic. Yeah, you might be going through a bad time right now. Yeah, you might be suffering a whole lot at the hands of your enemies. Leave it up to God. Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who are hurting you, who are bringing you all these problems. Don't pray that God smite them, strike them dead, nothing like that. But that God will turn their heart. That God can somehow work through what you're going through to show them, hey, you need to be saved. There's no need for revenge. There's no need for retaliation. There's no need to worry about getting even. There's just the need for Jesus Christ. To let Him save, to come to that saving knowledge of that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And as I was thinking about this whole idea of revenge here and some instances that the Bible tells us about, I got to thinking about James and John. You know, those two sons of thunder. And they thought they were something else. You know, they were always trying to get the upper hand over the other disciples. They wanted to be granted permission to sit at Jesus' right hand and on His left hand, so on and so forth. They thought they were doing pretty good. But there was one time, Jesus is passing through Samaria. And, you know, they're on their way to Jerusalem. And they need to stay for a little bit. They need to sit down, take load off. get a little rest, eat some, whatnot. And as they are passing through Samaria here, this one city, this one village just did not want them. And it rubbed James and John the wrong way. It put a burr in their saddle. Oh, they did not like that. How can you say that about our Lord? How can you refuse our Lord and Savior? Miss Quinn, they got upset. They wanted revenge. They wanted to retaliate. They wanted to get even. So let me read to you what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Common courtesy. Hey, you got some visitors coming through? You know, set out the guest room. Let's get things going. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In other words, he wasn't going to sit and wait a long time. He wasn't going to be there for a few days. He was just going to pass the night and get up, get going the next day type thing. They didn't like that. Verse 54, and when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Oh yeah, they know they've got power. God has blessed them with power already. They've performed miracles. They have preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. They have done all these wonderful things already. They've seen people healed. They've seen demons cast out and whatnot. And now they got on their big boy britches and they think they can call down fire from heaven and get revenge for how these people are treating Jesus. Verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them. Not the people from Samaria, not the people in this village, but his two disciples, James and John, and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Wow. That last part there, and they went to another village. No need to get mad. They just went to a different village. How many times do we get upset when we want something done our way and it's only our way and that's all there is to it, my way or the highway? Sometimes the best thing to do is to pull onto the shoulder of that road that you're on there before you jump on the highway, before you put the foot to the pedal and the pedal to the metal there on your way and stop and say, huh, is there another option? James and John want to call down fire? Jesus says, hey, let's just go over there. We don't need revenge. We don't need to retaliate. We've got exactly what it is that we need. Just over there instead. No big deal. Nothing to worry about there. Just calm down. Follow what I've got to say, God says. And you will not be disappointed by what happens. But aside from the revenge, aside from the retaliation, thought of another R word. I found this one interesting. The word repayment. Now, when you think about repayment, you think about, this is something that's been done and you've got to make sure that you give it right back to them. More or less along the same lines of revenge and retaliation and whatnot here. But I got to thinking about what the Apostle Paul wrote over in Ephesians chapter number 4. In verse number 26, Paul wrote these words, be ye angry. And there's some people there ready to jump out of their seats. Yes, preacher, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Be ye angry. We can work with that. We can do great, powerful things with that. That's what James and John were doing. They were being angry. Slow your roll. What else does the Bible say? And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Man, we get all excited about the being angry. It sounds like we've been given permission to do whatever we want to do. And God says, sin not. Don't give place to the devil. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what happens when you let the sun go down upon your wrath? You have gone to bed angry. Do not be surprised when you wake up the next morning, you're still huffing and puffing. You're still wanting to sit here and punish them for what has taken place here. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't worry about paying them back for it. Relax. Tell God what's going on there. Ask Him to forgive you for getting mad about it. Ask Him to help release you from these feelings of hurt, from these feelings of bitterness, from all the anger. And watch what He can do for you instead. You know, Jesus was talking over there in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. Let me turn over there real quickly. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 24. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive." That ain't repayment, that's forgiveness. Jesus says, forgive. "And ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." If anyone's got a right to be angry, got a right to want to sit here and get even, it's God for our sins. Remember, He is a thrice holy God. There in Isaiah chapter number 6, we find the prophet got the view of heaven there, and the angels were flying around God saying, "Holy, holy, holy." They weren't saying love, love, love. They weren't saying mercy, mercy, mercy. They were saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And we are nothing but sin. In fact, the Bible says the only thing great about mankind is the desire of our heart for wickedness. Every imagination is wickedness. We are nothing but about sin. He's got a right to get revenge. He's got a right to repay us for what we have done. And yet He says, "You forgive others and I'll forgive you." Wow, that's something. Verse 26, "But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses." Wow, my soul. In other words, what Jesus just said is the best revenge is to forgive them and let it go. And no, I'm not going to bust out into that song, "Let It Go." We're a couple of years removed from that being popular as is. But just don't worry about it. Let God handle it. You forgive them and He'll take care of the rest. Back in Mark chapter number 5, verse 38, let me read this for you. "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed." I'm sorry, that's Matthew. I wonder why in the world that ain't matching up with our sermon here. But that's a good passage of Scripture too. Just not for this particular sermon. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 38. See, this is Jesus explaining our text there in Exodus chapter number 21. Verse number 38 says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Let me just pause here real quickly. They are smiting you on your right cheek. Let's see. Smiting you. Yeah, I got to do it backward here. Forgive me. That means they're backhanding you. If they're smiting you on that right cheek, for you all would be, you know, whack, like that. For the Jews, that was a terrible, terrible insult to be backhanded. It's one thing to get slapped, but to get a backhand? Ooh, that's bad. Jesus said here, "Turn to him the other also." You just got slapped like that. He says, "Bring it down here and let him have that other cheek as well." Wow, that don't work in our society at all. Verse 39. I'm sorry, verse 40. "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Jesus is saying here, y'all have been misunderstanding the law.
You've been misunderstanding what God said there in Exodus chapter 21. This is not about a matter of getting ahead. It's really not even a matter about getting even with them. It is a matter of you being humble and obeying God, following God. What would God have you to do? Forgive them. Pray for them. Help them. Do whatever you can to make the situation better. Maybe they just simply need someone to come along here and show a little bit of understanding for them, and maybe that'll change their whole outlook on things. We've certainly seen enough of that in the movies, on television and such. That person's always so cranky. That person's always such in a foul mood, so mean. And someone does some little something, some little nice thing, and all of a sudden, it's 180 degrees attitude change for them. Suddenly, they're nice as pie. Why? Because someone was decent toward them. Jesus is saying, the repayment you need to give is be decent. It's to forgive. Don't resist evil with evil. Bible says there in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't worry about it. You try to do something to be nice to them no matter how bad they have treated you. And watch God work. I've got just one question and a statement for you this morning here in closing. The question is, are you carrying any grudges that you need to let go of before they get worse? And my statement is simply this: if you need to one-up someone with revenge, you're both going to go blind. Abba Father, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. Pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get exactly what it is that they needed out of the sermon. Help us all, Lord, please, to be quicker to forgive, to have more patience with people, and to accept it's coming our way does not necessarily mean that we've got to sit here and fight back. We don't need to retaliate. We just need to let You take and do with it as You see fit. Maybe it's just a lesson You're trying to teach us. Help us, Lord, please. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.